Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with you today. We're going to have, I believe, in an outstanding radio broadcast today, and we have a dear friend that is going to be joining us on the air. His name is Terry Shannon. He has run for the mayor's office here in Bentonville last year, and he has a number of things to say to us today. I'm looking forward to hearing each one of those comments from Terry. But before we get to that interview with our dear friend, I want to continue to shine the light on a very serious issue. I believe if I were to change the name of our radio broadcast, it would turn from The Watchman to Wake Up America, right? Because something's going on and we need to be aware. And let me just share out of the Freedom Outpost a very clear interview. And then I want to play for you two quick clips. And then we're going to bring on Terry Shannon to discuss this particular topic. Just how many Muslims won political office in 2018. The numbers may surprise you. Many of you are familiar with a couple of congressional seats that were picked up by Muslim women and the first Muslim state attorney general put into office in Minnesota. What you may not realize is just how many political offices were filled by electing Muslims in 2018. Even more concerning is the high percentage of Muslims voting and their openness to promote the fact that they want to change our culture and society. I played that interview from Gershon Mueller, that her speech on Monday, and I did it all day on yesterday. And so you know the outspoken reality is there. Well, first, the information comes from JETPAC, which stands for Justice, Education, Technology, Political Advocacy Center. According to their mission statement, and here it is, JETPAC seeks to build a strong American Muslim political infrastructure and increase our community's influence and engagement. And you'll remember when we played Gershon's video that she said the stated objective, the long-term goal is that every American would be Muslim, that they needed to be very calculated in how they deal with this country, et cetera, et cetera. And her own quotes, we will take our place at the table across all levels of government. Our philosophy of change is rooted in a community-based approach, grassroots mobilization, civics training, and technology application. We have developed our own training curriculum, as well as proprietary social media technology and automation tools to give our fellows the skills and resources they need to win elections. Well, one wonders if some of those tools involve voter fraud, especially after what we witnessed in Minnesota. So let's break down the Muslim wins from federal to the local level, and then we'll sort them by state. So federally, Rashida Tlaib, Michigan, 13th Congressional District, she won. Keith Ellison, Minnesota Attorney General, won. Ilhan Omar, Minnesota 5th Congressional District, won. Andre Carson in the 7th Congressional District won. That's the federal. At the state level, Sheikh Rahman, Georgia, State Senate District 5 won. Safia Wazir, New Hampshire State House Merrimack, 17th District won. Saif Majid, North Carolina, State House District 99 won. Mujaba Mohammed, North Carolina State Senate District 38-1. Mohammed Noor, Minnesota State House District 60B-1. Jason Dawkins, Pennsylvania State House District 179-1. Hodan Hassan, Minnesota State House District 62A-1. Charles Fall, New York State House District 61-1. Ako Abdul Samad, Iowa State House District 35-1. Abul Khan, New Hampshire State House Rockingham 20 District 1. Abdullah Hamoud, Michigan State House District 15-1. And Abbas Akil, New Mexico State House District 21. Now the county, Sam Bayadun, Michigan, Wayne County Commission District, he won. Sadia Gul Covert, DuPage County Board District 5-1. Sabina Taj, Maryland, Howard County Board of Education 1. Mohammed Ramadan, New Jersey, Passaic County Board of Education 1. Cheryl Saduth, California, West County Wastewater District Director 1. Babar Latif, Virginia, Prince William County School Board 1. Asad Akhtir, New Jersey, Passaic County Board of Chosen Freeholders 1. Abdul Al Hadous, Michigan, Wayne County Commission District 11 1. At the municipal level, and I'm just going to tell you these all won, and I'm going to tell you who they are. It is Salman Bojani, Dawn Haynes, Yasir Kogali, Mohammed Karula, Mohammed El Hamdani, Mo Saif Adin, Moimona Afzal Barta, Jihan Ayash, Javad Elahi, Hazim Yassin, Hasib Javad, Farah Khan, Ali Taj, Ala Matari, Ala Al Abdel Aziz, Aisha Wahab, Ahmad Zara, Salim Patel, Sabina Zafar. In the judiciary, it was Shahabuddin Ali, Sam Salami, Rabia Collier, Halim Dahdina Harb. Now, in breaking these down by state, deplorable, Kai formulated a list. And there's this huge list of, in California, Cheryl Saduth, George Abdallah Jr., Halim Dahdina, Mimosa Afzal Barta, and Javid Ahli in California. And then it goes on and on. And the point here, and I'm looking through every single state, the numbers are mind-boggling. And here's just a reported claim, okay? 95% of Muslim voters participated in this year's midterm election. 78% of Muslim voters primarily voted for the Democratic Party candidates and 17% for Republican Party candidates. And so what has happened, and I want to play for you right now a clip. This is Pennsylvania's, this is just happening days ago, Pennsylvania's first Muslim female representative on controversial prayer. So what happened was that this woman that we're going to hear from right now, Representative Movita Johnson Harrell, that's Movita Johnson Harrell, was elected to the Pennsylvania representative. And while she was ready to be sworn in, a woman prayed in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to share that clip with you as well. We'll be done here in about 3 minutes. I'll share that clip with you as well of the woman who prayed in Jesus' name. But to her office in Pennsylvania, somebody prayed in Jesus' name. Here is her comment.
I don't look at that as a prayer. I think it was a political, radical statement masked as a prayer. I think it was offensive to me and my family and my visitors that came down here for a joyous day. You know, we were looking forward to me being sworn in, not just as the state representative for the 190th Legislative District, but also as the first hijabi woman, the first Muslim woman to ever serve in the PA legislature. So it was a very joyous day. You know, my family got a bus to come down. We had 55 seats in the well. Our group was inclusive. We had Muslims and Jews and Christians and people from all walks of life. And when the rep invoked that statement, everyone was offended.
All right, so there you have it. You have this black Muslim woman who is the first Muslim in a powerful office in Pennsylvania. She's offended by the prayers of this woman. And here is her prayer that this Muslim was so offended by. And this is the opening prayer on March 25th, 2019. Okay, this is the controversial, offensive prayer that the Muslim was referring to. Here's the clip.
Representative Borowitz.
Thank you, Speaker. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for this privilege, Lord, of letting me pray, God, that I, Jesus, am your ambassador here today, standing here representing you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I am, the one who's coming back again, the one who came, died, and rose again on the third day. And I'm so privileged to stand here today. So thank you for this honor, Jesus. God, for those that came before us, like George Washington and Valley Forge, and Abraham Lincoln, who sought after you in Gettysburg, Jesus, and the founding fathers in Independence Hall, Jesus, that sought after you and fasted and prayed for this nation to be founded on your principles and your words and your truth. God, forgive us. Jesus, we've lost sight of you. We've forgotten you, God, in our country. And we're asking you to forgive us, Jesus, that your promise and your word says that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, that you'll heal our land. Jesus, you are our only hope. God, I pray for our leader, Speaker Terzai, Leader Cutler, Governor Wolf, President Trump. Lord, thank you that he stands beside Israel unequivocally, Lord. Thank you that Jesus, that we're blessed because we stand by Israel, and we ask for the peace of Jerusalem as your word says, God. We ask that we not be overcome by evil and that we overcome evil with good in this land once again. I claim all these things in the powerful, mighty name of Jesus, the one who, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, Jesus, that you are Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Well, if you see the video, all those very well-dressed, manicured politicians are wreathing. They can't believe that this prayer about Jesus Christ is being prayed. And what is so interesting, that this representative, and by the name, what, by the way, her name is Stephanie Borowitz. Stephanie Borowitz, and she's a Republican from Clinton County. She's a freshman representative, and she stood in the House almost with the knowledge, "Dear God, help us, we're being invaded by Muslims." She did not make one comment about the incoming Muslim woman to another seat of power. It was as though she was crying out to God for help because of the invasion that was coming. But without further ado, I want to bring in our dear friend, Terry Shannon, and say good morning, Terry. How are you today, first of all, sir?
I'm doing great. It's good to be on your program, Bennett.
And I believe we're supposed to be paying attention to, but I want to give you ample opportunity, Terry, to share your heart, the things that are important to you, and what's going on in your world, sir.
Well, I'm so glad that you let me be on your program today, and I want to say that your program the other day, I think it was Tuesday, is what fired me up. I have never heard such a good program. You and Patricia Joy put it on the top shelf, and you're exactly right. And it's so funny because Ryan Hollingsworth, my partner in a Bible study class that we have on the square every Monday at 6 o'clock, we were talking about another issue, but I want to not talk about that issue. I want to go to the Muslim problem that we have, and you are exactly right. And the problem that we have is America needs to wake up. We need to say, like I said on the program, America, are you listening? Because the Trojan horse has arrived, and America is actually grooming it. And it's our fault as a nation that what's about to happen and what is happening, even on other fronts besides the Muslims, is that we are sitting in our church pews and talking at church and having fun and listening to great music and stuff like that, and we're not getting out just to vote and do the things that we did just like a few years ago. It's just amazing to me. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 10 says, "The wall has fallen." Now, that means the protective wall of God has fallen, and you're right. We're on – America's under judgment right now. Now, Isaiah 9:16 says, "Our leaders cause us to err, and those who follow them will perish." Now, the Muslims are absolutely the hammer that is going to be used by God to punish us because we're under judgment, and you're right about it. We cannot stop this, I think what you called it the fist of God. We cannot stop this because we are a sinning nation, and we've been sinning for so long it's unreal, and it's just like I've got one son that when he was very, very young, he was hard to handle. He was very manipulated, and he was really just hard to handle. He wanted everything, and I kept telling him over and over and over again, you better stop doing this stuff because I'm going to get mad sooner or later. Well, one day I got mad at him, and I unloaded on him, and it was the best thing I ever did. He turned out to be one of the best kids I could possibly have, and that's what we need to do today with America. We need to unload on what's going on. Now, it's not coincidental, Vincent, that we're talking about this, and the coincidence that you and I have met in the past and all the things that brought me to you is something, but I don't think I know of anybody, I don't think you know of anybody, that has had any more personal relationships and encounters with Muslims in the United States outside of the federal government, the military, and the police than I have. It's just absolutely unbelievable. I have been studying Muslims since the time I became a Christian, and I have almost providentially been put in their presence many times. I have had breakfast with Muhammad Al-Drafi, a Muslim in St. Paul, Minnesota, at an apartment complex apartment 202 on Lexington and Jefferson Street in St. Paul. There is a lot of things going on in Minnesota that people need to know about and wake up, because first of all, Minnesota St. Paul Airport is the number one terrorist airport in the United States. If you can Google anything I say, about 2 years ago, 18, I think it's up to about 22 terrorists have been arrested there in St. Paul, Minnesota. Just a few miles from my son's apartment, there's a little enclave called Little Mogadishu. Now, Vincent, do you know about Little Mogadishu?
Not too much, but the name sounds familiar.
Okay, if we remember, we had a movie years and years ago, Black Hawk Down, and it was filmed in Mogadishu, and our Marines crashed there, and the people there, the natives there, attacked them and killed some of them and all that stuff, and a burning helicopter and everything, and they attacked them. Well, they've got a little place in St. Paul, Minnesota called Little Mogadishu. And there are so many Muslims right there in that area, it's hard to believe. I have gone down there personally several times and watched and walked the streets. And even with my son, we drove down there. But folks, this is serious. It's not just a game. These people are coming to change the face of America, and they're doing it every day. And we're sitting down on our desk not doing anything about it. Now, I could tell you some more things about the Muslims. I just don't know how much time you want me to talk about it, but all my encounters with them in three different states, even in my hometown of Paris, Texas, we had a Muslim mayor. I met with him, very nice gentleman, very good. I also had coffee at Paris Coffee Shop about 2 years ago with my good preacher friend Randy Doherty, and we noticed that there was several foreigners sitting in the corner. When we got out, we watched them and walked outside with them. They were in a limousine from Michigan. Now, if we want to think about Michigan, it too is full of Muslims and probably the highest concentration of Muslims anywhere in the United States, maybe second to Minneapolis, St. Paul, I don't know. By the way, Minneapolis, St. Paul, just 2 years ago, there was the first Muslim police officer put on the force there, and less than 6 months, there was a lady called out a problem, that she saw outside of her home. The police showed up. The woman comes out in her house coat towards the police car to tell them what was going on. The driver of the police car was an American. The passenger in the police, the policeman, was a Muslim. The man rolled down the window, and the Muslim reached over the driver of the police car and shot the woman dead right there in Minneapolis, Minnesota. You haven't heard anything like that on the news. It is very, very seldom ever. You probably never have heard of it, and most of our readers and our listeners have never heard of it. But that's the kind of stuff. Now, I'm not saying anything about that because they haven't really had an opinion on it yet, but it's strange that he leaned over the car and shot this woman, and all she was doing was coming up to tell the police officers where the infraction was, which is outside her window, and the woman died from it. You know, and so we're and the Mall of America, which my wife and children attended the grand opening when it first opened, right now is the number one target in Minnesota for Muslims to create some kind of violence there, big or small, either way. So I've had a lot of experience with Muslims. I had it in New Orleans on the Causeway Boulevard when I saw three or four different foreigners looking like they were doing something nefarious. So I called 911. The police department came out, and we actually think that they were checking out the bridge for a possible bombing. I lived next door to a Muslim on Magazine Street in Lafayette, Louisiana. I had dinner with him one night when his wife and children were gone to back to Iran or wherever they were from. I had dinner with them. I had dinner with Al Drossi in St. Paul. And after I got through talking and living next door and having dinner with the Muslim in Lafayette, I got a call from the FBI. His name is Troy, and he asked me to watch what was going on there because I had already called him and told him that it's strange that this guy lives next door to us, and there was a tire store about two blocks from us, and I saw him dumping trash in the dumpster there one night. So I called, and this is what we have to do, folks, is we have to start calling when we see something wrong and not sit back like they did in California when several Muslims shot several people that they actually work with, you know. And so, Vincent, I don't know how much more you want me to go on this, but I'm so glad that you're bringing up to the plate about the problems that we're having here with the Muslims, because it's not going to stop.
Okay, so what I'm hearing you say, Terry, and I thank God for your personal contact, you know, firsthand information, seeing things, and yet we were aware of what happened in Minnesota, that shooting that took place. We covered that when it was happening, and it was pretty outrageous. And is a sleepy church at a time when the stealth jihad of Islam is underway, the outspoken agenda of Muslims is clearly revealed, and that is take over America politically, culturally, socially, religiously, in every way to set up those Islamic systems. And what is amazing, while we're all going to church singing songs, like you said, is that the Muslim community is hard at work to get elected in certain districts everywhere throughout this nation, their people, to sit in positions of power. And maybe it was very, you know, little, you know, a mayor over here or not that that's little, or a council person over here, positions of power. Now we've had a Muslim president by the name of Barack Hussein Obama. We have now newly elected congresswomen, outspoken Islamic Muslim congresswomen that have now sat in seats of power. And the church is basically, you know, sound asleep and not recognizing that this jihad is on the way. And then we look over at New Zealand and we see in a country completely subdued. And so we have to keep shining the light. So, yes, please tell on.
Yeah, Europe is, and Britain. Right now we have a call to get rid of all the guns here in the United States. Well, in Britain, they're trying to get rid of the knives. So there's a flurry of knife killings there in Britain. And I'm not saying they're all Muslims, but we got a lot of things going on.
I heard they wanted to put a chip in the knives.
Pardon me?
They wanted to put some kind of GPS chip in the knives now that people buy.
Yeah, true. When they're going to use automobiles or knives, or they're going to use hammers. You know, if you really want to get to it, you can Google the deaths by hammers, and there's more deaths by hammers than there are guns and knives, you know, in the United States every year.
Or throwing acid in someone's face, right?
Exactly. But what we've got in America right now, even Americans right now, even our people here in America is doing the prophecy of Isaiah 5:20. They're calling good evil and evil good and going along with just about everything that we possibly can. Now, Proverbs 16:4 says, he even made the day of the wicked for the day of the end. Now, we got to understand these people are made by God, and they're going to be used as a hammer to bring his people back to him. Now, when 9-1-1 hit, the biggest prayer I ever heard was 2 Chronicles 7:14, which Stephanie quoted a while ago. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, change from their wicked ways, and pray to me, I will hear their land. That's what we need to be doing. We also need to be doing what Ryan and I are doing, and that's we need to start having Bible studies out in the open air. We need a revival. We need everything that we possibly can, and we need to talk about this stuff too and not be shy about it. We've got a web Instagram page up now with the Bible Bentonville on the square telling about it. But we need to preach from the rooftops and everything else and quit being a pansy in the church pews. These prosperity preachers that we have right now, I'm going to be honest with you, that's why I absolutely love to come to your church. My gosh, how could you not come to New Vine Ministry, to your church, Vincent, and not know that you know what you're doing and that you preach out of the Bible? And on the radio, it's the same way. But we're not getting that in every church that we go to. It's not there. Ryan Hollinsworth is doing the same thing I'm doing. He's out on the square. You know, Vincent, my ministry is a little different than yours, but that's how I meet about 95% of the people that I've met, including you, including Ryan Hollinsworth, and most of the people that I talk to, I met on a square. Most of the people that I talk to that go to your church that I didn't even know at the time they went to your church had no idea. I met them separately and apart from each one of them down on the square. And when I got to your church the first time, they started walking up to me. I said, I know you, I know you, I know you. And that's what we got to do. We got to get out in the square. Out in the public. But this Muslim thing is not the only problem that we got. We're catching it on all fronts. Right now, the Bible study that I had on Monday night was about the word sorcerer in the Bible. Sorcery, sorcerer, saucer, whatever. And the word sorcerer or a part of it is listed 15 times in the Bible, 7 times in the Old Testament, 8 times in the New Testament, and 4 times in the book of Revelation. And Strong's Concordance 5331 and 5332 says, and it talks about pharmakia. It's talking about drugs. And not only we're getting judgment from all fronts, Vincent, the drugs right now are taking over America, and it's unbelievable. I'm going to tell you about some videos you can go see. The number one video, you need to write this down, folks, and listen to it and watch this video. It is long. You can do it in sections. But if you don't cry and start getting emotional by watching this video that I'm about to tell you about, you need to have your heart checked. By somebody, it might be by God. But anyway, it's called Is Seattle Dying? Now, if you'll follow the prompts, it'll show you many other things that are going on. But closer to everything is my hometown, Paris, Texas, Vincent. population 24,000 just north of Dallas, is falling to pieces right now and dying. I raised three children there. I was president of the Board of Realtors, president of JC, third vice president of the Lions Club, two-term Chamber of Commerce, Salvation Army, a deacon at the church. I'm only saying that. I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm only saying that because I was involved in Paris, Texas. I was everywhere. If it, something was going on, I was in it. And today, Vincent, listen to this. Listeners, listen to this. Paris, Texas is now, and for the fifth year going, is the number 9 in the top 10 deadliest place in Texas to live. That's my hometown. I've still got friends there. I've got three sisters there. And it's blowing my mind what's going on. And Vincent, it's because of drugs. Now, this cancer that we've got with the Muslims coming in is sort of like the cancer. You know, cancer starts out one part of the body and the blood circulates and it takes it to other parts of the body. And pretty soon some people are full of cancer. And now what's happening is our streets and our highways and our government is being filled with these Muslims. So we got that on that front that's going to be causing us trouble. On the other side, we got drugs taking over America. And Vincent, don't think that it's not in every city USA. It's right there in Bella Vista. It's right here in Bentonville. You don't hear about it in Bentonville because the people in Bentonville, they have an entity here that tries to keep everything secret. It's never in the newspaper. But I've been bringing it up. I wrote again yesterday on the newspaper about how there were 4 drug busts down at the gazebo about 2 blocks from the square. Now, the reason I'm switching over to drugs right now is because of the fact that we've got a big problem, even in Bentonville, and every city USA is being inundated with drugs, and not just illegal drugs, but opioids and everything else. As a matter of fact, the second video I was going to tell you about is the opioid epidemic. Young victims of the opioid crisis. And then if you just keep following the prompts, you will see, Vincent, this video of Seattle, it will blow your mind. It blew Ryan Hollinsworth and the Bible Studies mind last Monday night when I told him and showed him the video. Ryan watched the video. I didn't know it, but he and his wife are planning a vacation to Seattle, Washington this summer. And he said, we're not going now. And you know what? You can't blame them because the good people in Seattle are even moving out of Seattle, and they're moving their businesses out of Seattle too. But so we've got a problem here. Now, you said it first. We're under judgment, and if you don't believe that, look at Nebraska and what's happening to them right now. It's flooding and everything's going on. And just last night, the first time I've seen it, I don't think anybody else, maybe you have seen it or something, some of the huge grain silos in Nebraska were swept away and blown apart with all this Russian water. So we've got the food prices are possibly going to shoot through the ceiling because of that and other parts of the country. So are we under judgment, Vincent, or not?
Well, absolutely. As a matter of fact, as you're telling the heartbreaking story of the epidemic of drug abuse going on in our country, it's been here for a long time, a lot of drugs coming up from the southern border, by the way, but there's nothing more heartbreaking than to see how drugs can steal a child away from their parents, regardless if they're in a good home, a bad home. Drugs in a second can sweep a child away. And that is a biblical judgment that their sons and daughters will go into captivity. It is so real of the judgment that is happening and the heartbreak. And I will watch those videos, and I think all of our listeners should.
I lost you, Vincent.
No, you're there. Go ahead. I just was saying it's very sad.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, watch that one. And you got to also believe that not all of them, but a lot of the politicians are involved in this problem that we have. That's another front that we have. The news media. There's another video called Tucker Attacked by the Richest, Most sinister creatures twisted people ever. If you just Google that, that's Tucker, the news, what's his name? Tucker Carlson. Tucker's attacked by it. So we're being attacked on so many fronts, it's unreal. Even the abortion, can you believe that Barbie doll just came out with an abortion baby doll?
She came out
with abortion. Yeah. And so
what?
We,
wait a second. What is a baby abortion doll?
Well, it's you know the Barbie dolls that were in the 70s. But now they have one called the abortion Barbie doll, and it shows the baby doll with the stomach taken out of it, so you can see the inner parts of it. And I saw it yesterday. It's horrible. But these they're making these babies for these dolls for little kids to look at. And speaking of little girls right now, little bitty girls, 6 and 7 years old now, are modeling for Victoria's Secret. Now you can find all this stuff if you want to look at it. But there's a lot of things going on, and they're coming after our children. It was said that Hitler said it, but Stalin was the one that said, "Give me your children, and in one generation, I'll change the world." And that's what they're doing, is they're going after our children and this generation that we have. As a matter of fact, there was a survey just recently that's put out about our children, and they're saying that they're so depressed, and the three top things that they were depressed about is, number one, slow Wi-Fi. It wasn't fast enough for them. Number two, broken screens. And number three, not enough likes on Facebook. So they're attacking our children. So what I'm saying is we're being attacked in so many fronts, it's unbelievable. And it's hard to imagine what else we're going to be. And if we, the people that are listening today, if we and they do not go back out and start telling their neighbors and their friends and their relatives about what's going on, then we're going to be really messed up. And I know it's hard because I've got family members that think I'm a total basket case. I've got friends that I've lost totally that don't even want to talk to me because I say stuff like this and I try to get them to listen. But we are being persecuted as Christians all over the world too. I know you already know this because you're as on top of it as anybody I've ever seen, but just 2 nights ago in Nigeria, over 200 plus Christians were murdered by Muslims that came into the area, stole 7 cars, and started shooting up Nigerians. Now, I have a Nigerian. Pardon?
Yeah. Did they have 2 minutes of silence and the Christian prayer? And did everybody carry a cross? Hey, Terry, real quick, before you go any further, Patricia Joy has just joined me on the air. We do the Watchman program together. She has a question or a comment for you. Good morning, Patricia Joy. How are you? Terry's on the air.
I am doing very well. Thank you. And I am thrilled that Terry's on the air. Terry, I want to compliment you on your efforts to turn things around in the right manner and way, not only Kinsaw, but for your heart regarding this nation and the world. And I see your fervency, and I understand it, and I praise God. I wish there were more like you. And if that were so, just imagine how we could all gather together and make things right that are so wrong. However, because we're at the time we're in, I'm not sure if judgment has already hit this nation, and is there turning around or a possibility of turning it around? What is your view on that?
Well, you know, I have to concur with you. I feel the same way because, you know why? The reason I ran for mayor is not because I was the one wanted to be mayor. I spent $54 trying to be mayor of Bentonville when other people spent $15,000, $20,000. What I was trying to do was get the attention of our civic leaders, our community leaders, and our council members and everything to make them realize how bad it has been right down on the square. And so I don't want to, I know we don't want to get all into all that, but I don't know if there's any way to stop it unless we just have a total turnaround by the citizens of America that believe and love grassroots America, the way it was built and the way it was formed with the first 13 colonies and how we are, you know, I tried to get the attention. I'm going to be honest with you. Right here in Bentonville, Arkansas, you can't imagine what all I've done and how many people, councilmen and the mayor himself I've talked to, and they're not listening. They don't care. The things that I brought up, I proved to them about the drug bust, and you never hear about it anymore. And not only that, I spoke to Ryan Hollingsworth a few minutes ago, and there's another guy here who moved from Richmond, Virginia, Joy. He moved here 4 years ago, and the reason he moved here, he's trying to find a safer place, and this is not just about Bentonville. This is anywhere USA. He's trying to find a safer place to live, so he moves to Bentonville. The reason he moved was he had a son murdered in Richmond, Virginia, and he moved here, and the 22nd of this month, that's just a few days ago, his 17-year-old son was beat up downtown by a 22-year-old and a 19-year-old, and they stole his bike, and the police came and made a report, and this is what, I've got the text on my phone, too, from the man that lives here, and he said they just didn't do anything. Our politicians are not listening to us, and we need to not only be vigilant in the church, having Bible studies like Ron and I are having every Monday on the square, church like you've got, programs like you've got and everything. We've got to talk to our politicians, and if they don't start listening to us, we as a group need to vote them out and get somebody that will listen. You know, they've got a... So I'm talking about Bentonville, but it's just every city USA. They're not listening in Paris, Texas either.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, Terry. I could not agree with you more in what you just said. And you're one of the few people that get out there to do something about it. And this is where my heart rejoices. And my prayer is that others will hear from this program and make that same decision as you have made. And then we can move together. But I believe it has to start in the church, because what
Absolutely.
Did the Lord tell us? Judgment starts in the house of God.
But here's my question. I want to get in just a quick question. What I don't understand, and maybe I do at a deeper level, but I'd like to hear from you. What I don't understand is, why does the Christian woman in the house chamber offer a prayer in Jesus' name, and all the politicians are unnerved, they're embarrassed, they want her to stop. Basically, the guy actually put his hand out for her to stop the prayers when she stopped. Why are there so many in positions of power in our government that are not willing to resist and say, hey, listen, as long as your outstated goal is to transform our nation, as long as your long-term goal is to make sure that your obligation to Allah is to make every American a Muslim, we're not going to allow you to take positions of power because that is subversive. But why is there so much capitulation?
Well, you know what? I don't know. Except I will tell you this. Most of those people that you're talking about are in church every Sunday and Wednesday too. They're in the churches in their local cities and everything. And they're like what I call a Darnell. A Darnell is a plant that is poisonous, but it looks like a wheat plant, but it's poisonous. And in the days of the kings and queens, the enemy would fill the wheat field with these Darnell plants. And I call people that are professing Christians Darnells. If I see one, I'm sorry, I do make a judgment. I say, that's a Darnell, because I saw him. He has a business and he's a Christian, but he's selling liquor, beer, and wine and all in it. And I'm not judging him for that. I'm just saying that, Darnells, and those are that's kind of a symbol of those people in the pews. They look like Christians. They act like Christians. They raise their hands and they tithe and they worship and all that stuff. And then when they go back to Congress or in their public office or something like that, they forget all about it. And I don't know why, except isn't it always been like this? You know, Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, that which has been before, and there's nothing new under the sun. And we're just seeing a rehash of everything that we've seen throughout the history of man. You know, if that answers your question, I can't answer for them, but I just think those people, they need to be called Darnells. They're poison. They're poison our country, our children. Our children are, oh my gosh, I can't hardly fathom what they're going to have to go through in the next few years.
This is the wolves in sheep's clothing. And Terry, what I'd like to do is just because of our coming to the wrapping up of things, there are a lot of people listening right now on Blog Talk Radio. They're calling in. And if anybody has a question or comment for Terry Shannon, please right now press 1 on your dial pad. We'll bring you right into the broadcast. If you have a question or comment about anything that you're hearing this morning, you're listening to Terry Shannon. He's local here in Northwest Arkansas. He ran for mayor of Bentonville. He has a message, obviously. He has great passion. He has given everything, truly everything, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has a ministry on the streets, in the public square, where he teaches and preaches and shares the word of God to whosoever will. And you could hear the passion. So if you have a question or comment, maybe you've been stirred in your heart to say, you know what, I've been watching too many sitcoms and eating cupcakes, ding-dongs. Maybe I need to get involved in what's going on. And maybe you want to ask for some directives there. Patricia, do you have any questions or comments before we move on?
Yes, I do. Terry, are you still operating in the square?
Yes, I am. I was there yesterday. I was there the day before. I was planning on going there today. I'm met so many of your church members there that I didn't even know they knew you. I met Randolph there. I met Carla there. I met Tom and Alice there. I met Robin Jeep there. I met Vincent Xavier there. I got into right in my Bible the night I met you, Vincent, because you are such an awesome pastor and so passionate about what you have. I love your messages at your church. I love the messages. And you know what? I got to say, I've been lazy. I haven't been on Omega Radio. But after I got on it, I cannot get off of it. I just keep going back because you have some of the best programs I've ever heard in anywhere ever. I don't have a TV in my house. I don't have a radio. I don't have anything else. I listen to Omega Radio, and I learn more and more every day.
Well, we're pleased to hear that, and do pray for us that we can continue in this work and that God would honor. And if there's anything that we need to know to make it even better, then we need to be contacted. And also, if anybody desires to get together with Terry that is listening right now, in the square or on the square in Bentonville, very neat place to meet people, to get excited about what's going on, not in the negative get excited, but coming together in Christ. Join him. And Terry, what time or about when in the day are you normally there?
Well, I like to go there in this time of the year, early in the morning, about 10 o'clock, because people are kind of through with breakfast and they start walking by. And what I do, Patricia, is I just sit there with my Bible. I never say anything to anybody. I want them to come to me. I want them to search me out, and they stop me all the time. I was up there 3 days ago sitting outside, and five people from India sitting at the table next to me. And actually, I was a little uneasy because I kept seeing them look at me and kept seeing them look at the Bible. And I saw the man get up and come over and look at my Bible and go back, sit down at the table. And then one of the young ladies got up and came over to my table and said, "Excuse me, sir, are you a pastor?" And I said, "No, I'm not." I said, she said, "Well, you reading the Bible?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "I'm more of a minister. I minister to people and I just answer questions." To make a long story short, they were from India. The husband and wife just moved here. They brought their father and his sister here, and they all came, and they were Christians, and they were so fired up, And I was having, the girl was interpreting what the father was asking, and the father was asking me what I was doing up there. And I told him about my ministry, and the best thing I've heard in a long time, it really moved me. He said to his daughter, he said, tell him that when I go back to India, I'm going to do what he does. I'm going to go to coffee shops, and I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to wait on people to come to me. And so, you know, and that's what I do. So I'm up there anytime. I usually, sometimes I'm up there, especially on Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays, sometimes as much as 7-8 hours a day. And I minister to people constantly, and it's been such an incredible thing for me. It's unbelievable. I can tell you circumstances. I met this girl from Nigeria on the square talking and just sitting there reading my Bible. And now she's a friend of mine, and I've been praying for her. I contacted her. She lives in Atlanta now. I contacted her and said, I'm sorry. I hope you don't have any family over there, that I'm praying for those Nigerians that were attacked last Monday and shot and killed. And she's already texted me back twice since then. So I'm reaching out to everybody that I possibly can. And it's just been an unbelievable ministry for me.
Well, you know, Terry, it is an unbelievable ministry. And I think one step further is instruction to Christians to understand and know the times we're in and what is going on. And I would like to see a number of Christians gather around and about you and you telling them and instructing them. This is what I see also.
Especially in the dialogue with Muslims, for example. You sit down at a table, you're in the park, and some Muslims come by, and they want to, you know, what is the reason for your faith? What do you believe? Because they have a great argument. They've been very well trained and articulate.
They sure have.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's amazing, and that's exactly what we're doing. That's why we're having a Bible study down there right now. The people that are in our Bible study right now are people that I met at coffee shop tables, downtown on the square, on the street, in the Walmart, places like that. I mean, I go everywhere and sit and read my Bible. And I'll tell you, one lady, I hope she's listening now. I won't say her name, but she poured out her heart to me one day at a coffee shop, and I felt I've never been moved so much in my life. And now she's coming to the Bible study. She's so enthusiastic about it. She's so excited. She had lost all her faith, totally lost all of her faith in God, and wanted to know why I had as much faith as I did. And why Ryan did. And now we can't hardly shut her up at the Bible study because she's so excited about God, you know. And listen, here's what we need to do with Christians. I'd like to make a quote quoted by William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. Here's what he said years ago. Most Christian organizations would like to send their workers to a Bible college for 5 years. He said, I would like to send them to hell for 5 days.
Oh, yes.
Now, is that not a motivator? Think about it.
Hey, Terry, let me just do something real quick here. We have a call coming in. We've only got about 3 minutes left in the broadcast, so let's get our caller to give you a question or comment. This is coming in from area code 479-855. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning. I would like to make a comment about when you were listing all these politicians and that are Muslims, that I noticed that lots and lots of them were on school boards in these different states. And you're talking about getting to the children. You know, I just heard a report or that there was a whole group that a teacher had the little ones bowing and saying the prayer and everything to Allah, and they're really, in just that area alone, they're educating our kids in that area.
Well, you're right on, and Terry, you know about this as well. They showed the Facebook video.
Yes, sir. It's happening. Yeah, it's happening all
it's
over
education.
America. Yeah.
Get the children. And that's it. You captivate the children. That's what Adolf Hitler did, right? So all these positions of education are, again, calculated moves.
what I think we need to do really is encourage Christians to get on the school board as they have done and work for this very situation so our kids will be protected.
But it goes back to what you said earlier. You know, how far down the road are we? Terry, you began your dialogue with us this morning saying, you know what, judgment has come upon our nation. We are being judged, and the hammer is ready to fall. The fist of God is ready to fall upon this nation, and we're seeing our kids go into captivity with drugs and false religion and their abandonment, forsaking the Lord, because we are in such a mess. In the next 2 minutes, close us out either with a word of prayer, word of wisdom, or something you'd like to just share with our listeners directly right now. You want to say to them personally about the moment we're living in.
Yeah, we can pray some other time. I want to make a statement here. There's two things that we need to do. Well, number one is, whoever we meet, we need to look up them, look them in the eyes and say, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior in your heart, and get an answer from them? Because that's one of the biggest problems that we have in America right now. We have a lot of people out there doing ministry, and they're talking about it and everything, but they don't look and say, I learned this the hard way. I used to say, sir, do you have God in your life? They say, yeah, yes, I do. Well, you know what? Everybody has God in their life. They think they do. So I started learning, no, I'm going to ask you, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's one of the things that we need to do. The other thing we need to do is we need to get into the Word of God. You know, Hebrews 11:6 says, we must know that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. America is not seeking Him. Did you hear what I said, Vincent? It said He is a rewarder. He will reward you for seeking Him with everything you possibly can. So please read the Bible. Read the Word of God. It's been here since the beginning of time, and it's not going anywhere. Voltaire said that 200 years ago, he said, the Bible will go off into oblivion. And that was 200-something years ago. And rumor has it now, they're printing Bibles in his old house where he used to live. When all of us are gone, when everybody else is gone, God's Word is still going to be here. So we need to read the Word of God.
Amen. Terry Shannon calling in today from Northwest Arkansas. It was great having you on the air. You did an excellent job. Thank you for enlightening and educating our listeners here on The Watchman on Omega Radio. Terry Shannon, thanks for calling in. We're going to say goodbye for now. We'll be back on the air tomorrow here on The Watchman. Right now, over at omegaradio.org, Patricia Joy Xavier has a roundtable discussion. And again, Terry, God bless you, my friend. Thank you for joining me on the air today.
That is my pleasure.
Shalom. All right, ladies and gentlemen, roundtable discussion, Patricia Joy Xavier, right now on omegaradio.org. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing.
Learn about deliverance. Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.